Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Francis Beck, and we'd like to welcome you to the Western New York High School Sports Weekly Inaugural Podcast. We will be covering the games, the high school football games, from week 2 and week 3 of the 2015 season. We'll also try to get in some soccer, volleyball, field hockey, and more into the show. My name is Francis Beck. I will be your host today. You can follow me on Twitter at FBeck300 level. That's FBOECK 300 level, and our co-host Marshall. Hopefully, he's there. Marshall Hamm. Marshall.
Hello.
Marshall is our co-host. That's Marshall for you. You can find him on Twitter at @mham1934. That's at @mham1934. We have a great show for you today. We're gonna go over our show real quick. We have 3 interviews for you tonight. Ethan Chatuk, the running back from Tonawanda. They're having a great season so far. We're going to have him on. He's going to call on the show around 8:15. Around 8:30, we'll have Melissa Brody from the Amherst Courier and the Clarence Sun. We'll talk about Williamsville and Clarence football. And then later on at 8:45, we'll have Pat Beltry, the birthday boy from St. Joe's. He is also along with me and Marshall from the 300level.com. bloggers, but I think we're going to jump in to our show. Marshall, big news for this week is Sweet Home, I think, 0-2, starting the season 0-2. That's unheard of.
Well, Sweet Home has been a powerhouse recently in this entire section, and to see them go 0-2 is a very strange sight for high school sports, especially for football. They lost their first game of the season to Williamsville North, 27-6, and then they ended up losing to Starpoint last week, 20-13 at home. And Starpoint's a very good team this year. You might want to look out for them. They're 2-0 on the season, and they've scored 66 points in 2 games. So they are one team to really look out for in Class A.
Well, Starpoint looks pretty good, although I have to say, their big wins have been a Sweet Home team, which we don't really know much about, and a Niagara-Wheatfield team where it's Niagara-Wheatfield. And it's Niagara-Wheatfield football. I have family that goes there. My mom went there, and aunts, cousins, my uncle teaches there. But it's still Niagara-Wheatfield football, and I'm not quite ready to make a say that you're a top contender in the A North if one of your wins is against – 1 out of 2 your wins is a 44-0 takedown in Niagara-Wheatfield. I'm sorry, I'm not quite sold on them, but I have to say, we'll get to this later, they're facing Grand Island tomorrow night, and that might be a game I head out to see what they are.
Yeah, that's probably going to be one of the better games of the night, in my opinion. Grand Island, they had the first win, was the forfeit with Kenmore East, as you know, since you go to Kenmore East. About that. And then they beat Williamsville East 16-8. And Williamsville East 0-2, they dropped their first game in North Tonawanda 23-0. But North Tonawanda, they've scored 71 points in 2 games so far, and they've allowed 0. That's one team that has been pretty good as of late. They've got Williamsville South tomorrow night. That should be a very interesting matchup.
Yeah, I was at the end their first scrimmage. I was at the game last week, of course, with Kenmore East, and I was at their scrimmage against Hushtek and McKinley, and their defensive line is strong. They're facing, again, they have, they've had a weak schedule with Billingsville East, who has a new head coach this year coming off of, I believe, a winless season last year, and Ken Maurice, who, of course, is now down, is barely making the cut to be able to play games. But, yeah, they could contend for a playoff. They have a favorable schedule. Like, who knows now? I mean, they didn't have a sweet home schedule, and I believe, let me see, I have the schedules right here next to me where their games are. They do have North and South, but they missed Sweet Home, which right now it doesn't look like it's that favorable. And then at the end, they have Starpoint before they face Tonawanda. That could be a good game to see how this plays out. They have Will South this week. That's going to be a nice tumble.
Yeah, just looking at this North Tonawanda schedule, as you said, they've got both Williamsville, South and North, upcoming. That North game should be very interesting. Niagara Wheatfield, hate to say it, but probably going to be an easy win for North Tonawanda. Starpoint,
yeah,
that one could go either way. We're not really too sure how Starpoint is right now.
That could be a number two slot. You never. Depending on this.
Tonawanda, the TNT game. If I'm a betting man, I'm saying North Tonawanda goes either 6-1 and 7-0 in this schedule. With the way that North Tonawanda has been playing recently, they're going to be 6-1 or 7-0.
Okay. All right. Go down to our. We'll do a recap. Fast fire recap week two. These recaps can be found on from the300levels.com with the title High School Football Week 2 HSF Week 2 Recap. We'll start in the Monsignor Martin Association, where Canisius defeated St. Mary's of Lancaster. Styler Strahan is now the quarterback there for the Crusaders. He had 3 of 5 TDs for the Crusaders. Cole Bernstein is now the running back for the Crusaders. He had the other 2 touchdowns and 184 yards. Jake Lutz and Mason House had 7 tackles, and Canisius moves up to 1-0 in the year. St. Mary's is now 1-1. Next week, we'll get into this later in the show. South Park is at Canisius, the big game, and then Tymon heads to St. Mary's.
And then we got Class AA North, where Kenmore West, who is projected to be one of the top dogs in AA North, defeated Lockport by a score of 28. Yes, we will. It's in 28-14. D'Angelo Walker Johnson had 4 total touchdowns for the Blue Devils in their first win of the season, and he ran for 159 yards and 3 touchdowns. Tyler White had 15 tackles on defense for the Blue Devils, and Charlie Milk had 13 tackles and 3 sacks. That is a very nice day for that man. And then Javon Ford ran for both touchdowns for Lockport. Emma West is 1-1 on the season, and Lockport is 0-2 on the season. And like we said, we will go over their opponents later on in the show.
Staying in Class AA North, Clarence defeated Riverside 31-12. The Rev Devils were down 14-11 at the half, but came back and dominated the second half for the win. The Mazzaro brothers led the way for Clarence. Angelo had 148 yards and 3 rushing yards and 3 TDs. Steven had 123 yards and a TD. Clarence now moves to 1-1 on the season. Riverside is 0-2. The big one next week, which I'm half considering going to, my other game, will be Lockport and Clarence. And then Riverside heads all the way up to Medina.
And now we'll go down to the southern part of Class AA. Orchard Park easily handles Frontier by a score of 56-7. Dylan Janka threw for 194 yards and 4 touchdowns, and Thomas Albert ran for 104 yards on the ground, including a 35-yard touchdown rush. Josh Dahan ran for 84 yards and a touchdown for the Quakers, and Frontier's Hickson scored on an interception return for a touchdown. Orchard Park gets a very tough battle with Class C team Bennett on Saturday afternoon. That will be a great matchup, arguably the best in this week. And then Frontier will have Hutch Tech.
All right, next week we're going to head down to Class A. We'll start in Class A North with North Tonawanda beating up Ken Maurice 48-0. Ken Maurice, as many of you may know, played their first game Saturday. Players to Grand Island. They actually didn't have to call anybody up. So that's a good sign for them for this game. They didn't have to call anybody extra or anybody from JV just to dress. So that's good. Update on their JV game. It will be on Monday night or on Monday afternoon in Williamsville East. So going back to North Tonawanda, Zach Woodard continued the family legacy Saturday. He went 5 for 6, 100 yards, a TD in the air, and a TD run. He also blocked a punt. Noble Crop forced a fumble, which he then picked up and ran it all the way for a touchdown. NT moves to 2-0. That's in the league. And Ken Maurice moves to 0-2. This week, Will South will have Evan Manna there, new blogger we picked up from the 300 level. He will be heading to the Lumberyard as the Billies take on the Lumberjacks. And I will be at the Williamsville East game as they head to Kenmore East.
And then we'll go to Class A North. Star Point upsets Sweet Home by a score of 20-13. And Star Point actually had some students storm the field there at Sweet Home, which I thought was a very interesting feature. The Spartans got their first ever varsity game win over Sweet Home on last Saturday. Leading Star Point rusher was KJ Ahmed with 76 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. And he also added 10 tackles on defense. Anthony Robinson scored the Spartans' game-winning touchdown with 48 seconds left. And the Spartans of Star Point are 2-0 overall and in the league, while Sweet Home drops to 0-2 both overall and in the league. Star Point, like we said earlier on the show, will be going up to Grand Island to face the Vikings. And Sweet Home will go and battle AA North Kenmore West.
And we are, we'll get into this later. We're trying to get our friend Tim Blindler out to the game to call into our show tomorrow, which you, by the way, will be hosting our high school sports Saturday. We'll get into that a little bit later. Well, Marshall will be filling in for Frank as he goes away on a much needed vacation out. We'll stay in the Class AA North up there. Williamsville South beat Niagara Wheatfield 44-0. Jack Koyoki led the Billies with 3 touchdowns, and he also was kicking 2, making 3 of 4 PATs, and he even threw a 2-point conversion. Will South now moves to 1-0 in the league. They're 1-1 with that loss to St. Francis last week, which we'll talk about them a lot today. And Niagara Wheatfield moves to 0-2. As we said, Williamsville South is going to North Tonawanda, and Will North will be going to Niagara Wheatfield this week.
Class A South. South Park defeated Amherst by a score of 48-7. Park's offense could almost do anything they wanted in the first half, as South Park is a very strong team this season. And their defense was dominant also. Tyree Brown, a very popular name in Western New York sports, scored 5 touchdowns for South Park. And the starters for South Park were actually pulled after the halftime lead was 40-7. Wow. And then Nick Foster had the only Amherst touchdown off of a kickoff return. South Park, 2-0 overall and in the league. Amherst 0-2, both overall and the league. As we said earlier, South Park and Canisius battle off just over by my house, about 10 minutes away. And Amherst goes to West Seneca West as the Indians try to snap an 18-game losing streak.
All right, we're going to stay in Class A South. We have West Seneca East beating Lakeshore 35-22. John Dolek, or as he's known to our friend Markel Slaughter as JD3, John Dolek the third, had 200 rushing yards, 2 rushing TDs, a 2-point conversion run, and 10 tackles on defense. Ray Johnson had 129 yards, a touchdown on the ground. West Seneca East moves to 1-0. 2-0 overall. Lakeshore is 0-1, 0-2 overall. West Seneca will head to Hamburg this week. Iroquois will come into Lakeshore. John Dolick has our guest coming up, hopefully in a few minutes. Early candidate for Connolly Cup. I believe he was named by AdPro, something with there. We're trying to look into that for Saturday. So John Dolick III, watch out for him. He's, according to Markwell, he's the real deal. Might be the best player in Western New York.
I'm hearing his name a lot, so we might have to keep our ears out for JD3. Then we'll go to Class B East. Alden defeated Albion by a score of 20-7. While Grant led the offense with 2 rushing touchdowns and 103 yards, Grant has been lights out for Alden the past 2 weeks, really forcing those Bulldogs to go to where they are, 2-0. Joe King had 3 interceptions on defense, and Andrew Chowanek had 8 tackles for the Bulldogs, as the Bulldogs will travel to Barker Roihart, and we will have the Albion will go to DePew.
DePew, all right. We're going to stay in the Class B East for now. East Aurora beat Medina 40-6. Nolan O'Connor ran 9 times for 92 yards and 3 touchdowns for the Blue Devils. East Aurora moves to 2-0, 1-0 in the league. Medina is 0-1 and 1-1. Next week, Dunkirk will travel to East Aurora, and Riverside will come all the way up to Medina.
Class B West, Cheektowaga Central crushes the Louport Lancers 50-7. Tyree Billingsley and Tyron Lawson both had 2 touchdowns in the win. Cheektowaga goes to 2-0 overall, 1-0 in the league. Louport goes 0-2 overall, 0-1 in the league. And I've got a personal friend of mine, Jack Cruiser, over there at Cheektowaga. He will be announcing tomorrow night's game between Newfane and Cheektowaga, and then Maryvale will head up to Louport under the lights, take on the Lancers.
All right, we're going to stay in Class B. All right, we're going to put our recap on hold. We're going to remember Burgard, Maryvale, and we have our guest, Ethan Shattuck, on the line. Ethan, are you there?
Hi. Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Ethan. Ethan Shattuck's running back. Is Shattuck? Don't you get your name right?
Shattuck.
Shattuck. Okay, Ethan Shattuck is the running back for Tonawanda. Tonawanda football has a winning start to their season for the first time in 11 years, I think I read. Ethan, what's the excitement right now around the Tonawanda football program?
I don't think we've ever been more excited for a season. I mean, the guys have been working so hard to go out there and win the games, and I believe Burgard is one of our more tougher opponents on the schedule, but I think if we do what's right and don't make many mistakes, we can come out on top.
Okay,
depending
Ethan,
Burgard at home.
Continue, Marshall.
Hi. Ethan, this is Marshall Heim here. Does having Burgard at home on your beautiful turf field, I was just there yesterday for AFK Girls Soccer, does playing Burgard at home give you guys any more confidence or any more drive to become 3-0 on the season?
I mean, yeah, running out of the tunnel with all of the students and all the faculty and all the fans cheering for us, that definitely gives us a big confidence boost when we run out of that tunnel, all the noise and all the this excitement in the air.
Ethan, you've had, I'm reading here correctly if I have my information right, you have rushed for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns, just 50 carries, and even in week one you had an 82-yard return for a touchdown. My question is, where were you last year? Why were we just hearing about Tristan Boiling? Now that he's out of the picture, we're hearing about you.
Well, last year I was only a sophomore, so I don't know if that was the reason, but Tristan worked as hard as he could to, so did all the seniors like Brandon Pry, Brandon Gergen, but Tristan was a great athlete, and it doesn't bother me at all that now is when I get noticed.
Mm-hmm. Marshall, do you have anything else?
With the departure of Tristan Bowling, now playing wide receiver out from Mercyhurst, is there Did he give you guys any pointers on what you guys should do to keep doing what you guys have been doing recently since he was on the team and, like, Brandon Fry and all them?
Yeah, before he left, he told us all to keep working hard, and he gave some of the wide receivers tips on how to catch the balls, and Gerken showed the centers how to snap better, and Fry also helped with the receivers. All the guys definitely, or all the seniors last year previously, they definitely gave us a lot of help before they left. Even recently, I've spoken to Brandon Gerken, and he just keeps saying play hard and give it all we got for our games.
Mm-hmm. In the Class B West, you have two tough teams in Cheektowaga and Burgard. Cheektowaga, the Class B champs from last year, in Burgard, who was the semifinalist against Bennett, who eventually faced Cheektowaga in the final game. Do you think you guys are good enough to take those teams down and win the West?
I believe that every team on our schedule is beatable if we do not make mistakes. Cheektowaga and Burgard are both very respectable teams. I know they're going to be extremely tough and they're going to come out with everything they got, but I believe that if we don't make as many mistakes as we have and we pull it together and start stepping up more, we can beat any team on our schedule.
Okay. I have to finally ask you about the big game. North Tonawanda, they're starting to look good on their schedule. Their defense hasn't let any points. Are you guys concerned with them yet? What have your thoughts been on their season, their defense, defensive line especially being dominant? Do you think you guys can take it to them and go into the Lumberyard and win?
Yeah, NT is definitely one of our biggest games of the season. And we just prepare like any other game. It's the team. They're not us. They're our rivals. But despite, like I said, if we get our stuff together and we start making less mistakes and going to our assignments, reading our keys, I believe that we can beat any team on our schedule. NT is a very, very tough team, though. I know that. I still live there. I have family there. But they're all just another team.
Okay. Marshall, anything else you have?
I've got nothing.
Okay. All right. So, Ethan, what do you want to tell the fans out, tell everybody in Western New York, what should they expect from Tonawanda football this season?
Tonawanda football is definitely rising the ranks again. Like in 1990, we went to states and we won. We went to the Ralph. And I have a feeling that we're going to be up there again soon.
All right, thanks. That was Ethan Shattuck, running back from Tonawanda. Thanks for having you on.
Nope, thanks for having me.
All right, thank you. That was Ethan Shattuck again, running back from Tonawanda. In a few moments, we're going to have Melissa Brawley call us, but I think right now we're going to try to finish up our recap or get as much done before she calls. Marshall, you want to pick up with Burgard and Maryvale?
We can. Burgard defeated Maryvale with a very strange score for high school football. Final score, Burgard 6, Maryvale 3. Paul Miner had 6 tackles and a blocked punt for Burgard, which was returned for a touchdown. The extra point was missed, and Maryvale added a field goal. You don't really see 6-3 a lot in high school football, especially in this area. But 6-3 was
especially
the final.
Class B.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Burgard was a 1-1 on the season, 1-0 in Class B West, and then Maryvale goes 0-2, 0-1 in Class B West. Burgard is at Tonawanda, as we just said, heard from Ethan Shattuck. And Maryvale, like we said earlier in the broadcast, is going to Newport.
All right, we'll stay in the Class B West. Ethan Shattuck, we just talked about, in Tonawanda. They are coming off a 20-14 win over Newfane. I don't know if anybody heard, that was actually under the lights of Newfane. They brought in portable lights, which is pretty cool, and shined them over so they could have a Friday night game. Ethan Shattuck had 3 touchdowns in the win. Tonawanda is now 2-0, Newfane's 0-2. Next week, as we said, Burgard will travel under the lights to Tonawanda at their wonderful turf stadium. Newfane will face top Class B dog, Cheektowaga.
And I just want to add on to that Class B West game between Tonawanda and New Bain. They had over 1,200 people at that game. 1,200. That's a crazy amount. 1,200.
The Newfane? Oh, yeah.
And I've heard stories about Newfane. They barely get 400 people at their game. But since they brought the portable lights in, everybody wanted to go, and they got 1,200 people there. That is just insane.
I know. That's just wow. I remember I was there for a JV game a few years, sophomore year, and we had like a 4:30 start. We had to drive all the way up for a 10-more East play game. It was a 4:30 start, and we barely got it done before the sun went down. They have a small field there, too, and it's amazing they fit it in 1,200 people.
Yeah, and I was there last year for JFK, and I never would have thought that they would have gotten that much people at one game. Very well done by Newfane up there. And then we will stay with Class C South.
Okay, yep. Real quick, we're going to get a word in from our sponsors. Daniel Beck, attorney at law, is off. If you need an estate planning, need a will, mortgage or something, you can go to his office. He's at 3290 Genesee Street in Cheektowaga. You can call him at 716-253-6500. That's 716-253-6500 for all your wills. If you need some insurance, you can need some insurance help. You can call the Paul Wolf Agency. He's at 2686 Elmwood Road. That's near West Girard Boulevard. For those of you who are familiar with the Kenmore area, he's in Kenmore. You can call him at 716-835-WOLF, 716-835-WOLF. And I don't know the numbers for that, so I'm not going to give them out. And you can visit his website at Paul Wolf Agency. That is listed below on a link to the show.
And we will stick to Class B. We'll go down to the southern tier now. Springville. Very solid team that they have right there. Springville defeated Fredonia, the Hillbillies, 33-28. One of the games of the week lived up to the hype as the game just kept going back and forth, back and forth. Bruce Sudzik had 82 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns, including the game-winning score for Springville Griffith Institute. And he also added 9 tackles and an interception. Freshman Sean Berry sealed the deal for Springville with an interception late in the game. Next week, Southwestern will come up to Springville. That game will be broadcasted live on Time Warner Cable Sports Channel. And a good buddy of mine, Brendan McDaniels, will be announcing that game. So take a look for him if you have Time Warner Cable. And then Pioneer will go up to play Fredonia.
I have to say about that game, Bryce Zuzuki, Sajak, I think. It's a weird pronunciation. I saw him in his first game against Burgard. He looked great against Burgard, running and throwing the ball. He was a big part of their win against Burgard, and he's going to be a big part of the season for Springville. All right, we're going to move down to Class B South. Pioneer beat Olean 32-21. Nate Tankington went 40 yards for a touchdown and with an interception return and caught a 31-yard touchdown also. Tyler Beyer picked up his own forced fumble and returned it for a touchdown. I believe it's the second one this week, second or third. Beyer also had 12 tackles and 3 sacks. Forster Delahan had 9 tackles. Todd Thompson had 138 yards on the ground. Pioneer is 1-0, 1-1 on the season. Next week, as we said, Pioneer will go to Fredonia. And then Olean looks like they have a bye because they were scheduled for the Eden team, who unfortunately had to close and not have their season.
All right. And now we will go to Class C North. And this team is just unremarkable. And I'm talking about Bennett. Bennett was the runner-up to Cheektowaga in Class B, but they've now moved down to Class C North, which I believe is just... I can't even fight to say words about that move down south in class ranking. Bennett defeated Silver Creek Forestville by a score of 60-21. and they led 34-7 after the first quarter. Isaiah McDuffie ran for 150 yards and three scores on offense and also added 10 tackles. And he's a junior and is already committed to Syracuse. Anthony Mendriza had 250 yards and two touchdowns passing. And then Derek Bishop ran 75 yards to find six off of a punt return and also added a 27-yard touchdown catch. Bennett, not surprisingly, 2-0 on the season. And then Silver Creek, 0-2 on the season. As we said earlier, Bennett is at Orchard Park Saturday afternoon, arguably the best game in Western York this week. And then I will be heading up.
Heading down to
Silver Creek to face the Black Knights. And make sure to follow at JFK_athletics for your updates on that game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock down south at Silver Creek.
All right, we're going to move on to our interleague and out-of-area part of our show. We're going to have recap. Class A, Class AA matchup, we had Jamestown and Williamsville North in the North Towns up here. Jamestown won that game 30-14. The Spartans were within a touchdown of beating the defending state champs. In the third quarter, they almost pulled it off. Niagara Falls almost did it. Will North almost did it. Andrew Hang for Will North had two touchdowns. Devon Jackson had two TD runs for Jamestown. Gunnar Carlson blocked the punt and returned it for a touchdown for the Red Raiders. Jamestown is 0-0 in their league. They are 2-0 overall, barely 2-0, thanks to that Niagara Falls game. Will North is now 1-0 overall in their league, or I should say in their league, and they're 1-1 overall. Next week, big game, Lancaster will head to Jamestown. Will North will head to Niagara Wheatfield.
And we'll go out of the area, stay in in New York State, is St. Joe's. As we'll hear later on from Pat Veltri, the birthday boy. I want to wish him a happy birthday again, as I did on Twitter earlier. They went to Long Island, actually Staten Island, and they played Monsignor Farrell, who, according to Max Preps, is ranked as the 23rd best team in New York State. They defeated St. Joe's by a score of 38-17. St. Joe's was down by 3 at the end of the third quarter, but Monsignor Farrell pulled away in the fourth as the Marauders' defense had a tough day as Steven Vigas ran for 3 touchdowns and for 200 yards. And then Ryan Conshafter ran in for both of Joe's touchdowns. St. Joe's has not played a game in Monsignor Martin yet, but they're 1-1 overall. Next week, they host Powerhouse and Class A state finalist, probably, we'll see, Aquinas from Rochester.
All right, we're going to stay out of the area, but stay in New York State. St. Francis hosted Holy Trinity from Long Island and destroyed them 49-19. They're great, man. They're going to be great this year. The Red Raiders showed Saturday they're forced to be reckoned with at Western New York. Jerry Hickson threw for 302 yards and 2 TDs. He also ran for another. St. Francis offense had a total of, get this, 616 yards.
Oh,
616 yards of offense.
Oh.
St. Francis is now 2-0 overall, thanks to that win last week against Bill South. And they have a big game this weekend, and we really know about them. They will be heading down to Walsh Jesuit from Ohio. That was the team that Canisius faced last year that was a top team in Ohio. The Crusaders were able to defeat them. If St. Francis can put up a good fight, we could be in for a fun year in Monsignor Martin.
And we will go out of state, where Lancaster traveled all the way to Toledo, Ohio. Wow. And the Legends were overmatched beyond belief as they played the state champion from last year, and they've won 2 state championships in the last 3 years, and they lost. This is incredible. 76-7. Whew. Man,
yeah.
Lancaster playing against Clarence. They look like a very solid team, But then seeing what they had to go up against Central Catholic, I knew it wasn't going to be pretty. And I was hoping it wasn't going to turn out like this, but it ended up this way.
You know,
I
saw pictures. Oh, finish up.
And Lancaster has not played a game yet in Class AA. They will play yet another, or actually, correction, they'll be playing their first league game tomorrow night down at Strider Field in Jamestown against the Red Raiders.
Yeah, I have to say, I saw pictures of Central Catholic Stadium and facilities. It was like a college level, maybe probably better than right now the facilities are at UB. I believe it's in Toledo, Ohio. It's class, I guess they'd be their Class C, but this team would destroy Bennett. This is a very good team. Lancaster, I know they might not like the 76 points, but this was a very good team. They shouldn't have, and I like how Lancaster went and they took the challenge. They went up against a very good team in Central Catholic, Ohio. We're expecting a call from Melissa Brawley, but she's not getting to us, so we're going to go every week. The Buffalo News does their own top 10 rankings. So now we have decided to do ours. The large schools. Marshall did the small schools. I'm about to bring that up for us. If I can figure out how to work my computer. All right. I'm going to set up a drum roll. All right. Nope. Pause that. Okay. Number one on the list, not surprisingly, is Canisius of the Monsignor Martin League. They're 2-0. They won in Syracuse against Shenandoah, which I believe was from Section 3. Them pretty good. And they beat St. Mary's Lancaster. They put up 37 points in all that rain we had last week, Saturday. They obviously, defending Catholic state champs, they're well-deserving of being 2-0. Number two is Orchard Park in the AA division. They're 2-0. They beat Kenmore West 28-0, which right now may not be, for Kenmore West, may not be bad as loss as we maybe thought after Orchard Park now beat Frontier 56-7, the big game there. Number three is St. Francis. They're the Red Raiders. They've had a great, they're going off to a great start with Jerry Hickson, junior quarterback, getting into his second year under the helm there. With all those yards last night, they beat Williamsville in the first week 40-20, and they beat a Catholic school team from Sand Island pretty well. Number four, 2-0, I'm dropping, I'm liking this team less and less with their close wins. It's Jamestown, AA, close, barely coming out against Niagara Falls, and then Will North hanging in there pretty well. I put them at four. I think St. Francis is the better team right now. Number five, I have Williamsville North, who won against Sweet Home. Sweet Home's now 0-2, so the jury's out on them. And then Will North lost to Jamestown. I prefer to give teams credit for facing big dogs and keeping it close and losing, so I put them at five. Six, I had Lancaster. I really didn't want to move them down. I didn't really want to make them pay for that loss there to Central Catholic Ohio, but I had moved them to six, higher than I think most people have them with a 1-1 record. At seven, I have a little bit lower than the news has them. I have South Park. They have them four. I have them seven. I saw South Park play. They have a very good team, but they're facing Amherst, who it didn't look like they wanted to play. They didn't look like they wanted to play. South Park, I will be willing to move them up, even a loss, if they play a good game against Canisius. Be willing to move them up this poll, but right now I'm going to leave them at seven. Number eight, I have St. Joe's. They're 1-1. They beat Lockport last week, and it's kind of up in the air in Lockport. They lost to a good team on Senior Farrell. They seem to hold their own, I believe, for a while. We'll talk to Pat on that. He'll be calling in a few minutes. Number 9, JDR III with West Seneca East. They're 2-0. Some weaker opponents, but they're showing that they're a great team. And number 10, I'm apparently off according to the news by time, and they have them at 6. I have them at 10. And I may get some hate mail from that, apparently, but I don't really care. Tymon faced some weaker teams, Riverside and Edison Tech team that I looked up from Section 5, which really does not measure up to the other schools around there. Tymon, you're number 10. Marshall?
All right. I know I did my large schools, trying to compare it up with you right there. I'll just go through them real quick just to get through here. I've got Canisius at number 1, OP at number 2, Jamestown number 3, St. Francis number 4, North Tonawanda number 5, South Park number 6, St. Joe's 7, West Seneca East 8, Hamburg 9, and Starpoint 10.
Wow, you have NC up there. I do have to mention, they did face, it was Williamsville East, they did put a good fight against Grand Island and Kenmore East. So you think the 2-0 record, the performance they did, is worth a 5 in that year poll for you?
I still think them allowing no points in 2 games is still very good, and it shows how well their defense is. It gives them a little boost up. South Park only allowed 7 points. And St. Joe's played very well against Mentor Martin, so they can't really get penalized. West Seneca East, they've played some pretty decent teams. They played Lakeshore, who battled with them, and then they played Frontier, which was just a bloodletting. Hamburg, they've played some, I hate to say it this way, but they've played some tough cupcake teams, but they have a tough test this week as they play West Seneca East. And then for me, I just like Starpoint. The way that they've been playing this year, I mean, they're not high on my list, but they're number 10. They could go up if they play Grand Island and if they win, but we'll see how it comes up next week.
Okay, you can move your small schools. I don't know as much about you, being entrenched in JFK. You know a lot about the small schools, so I'm going to leave that to you. What did you do there?
Small schools, Buffalo News and I both agreed, Bennett, number 1. That's pretty inevitable. A team that has scored 108 points in 2 games. Yes, I'm saying that correctly. 108 points in 2 games. They defeated Akron 40-0. Yeah, you were at the Bennett-Akron game.
I was at the Akron game, in fact. They were, in fact, on the final play, Akron threw an interception. They returned it for a touchdown, I guess. They were all so hot that they decided not to skip the extra point. That's why the game was 48-0. There was supposed to be an extra point or a 2-point conversion.
Man.
There, that could have been even more. Could have had 50.
Wow. Wow. And then they beat Silver Creek, as we said earlier in the show, 16-21. So they've got 108 points in 2 games. Team can't even match that. Man!
The only thing that could beat them was themselves. They did take some penalties. Hopefully, week 2, they fixed that up. But the only thing holding them back would be themselves.
And then with me, the Buffalo News and I both differed with 2 and 3. They put Cheektowaga Central at 2, Springville at 3. I have it the other way around. For me, I believe Springville playing Burgard, defeating them 32-16, was a very strong win. And then Fredonia has been pretty good as of late, but they're 0-2. But comparing to Cheektowaga Central, they beat Fredonia 28-6. So that's where you can kind of differ with the two. But then they defeated Louport 50-7. Louport has never been a strong football team, so that's where I have Springville above Central. My number 4 team, I have East Aurora and Holland, as they combined a couple years ago. Ishora Holland has played Olean and Medina. Medina defeated Loopport 46-40 in week one. And then they defeated Olean 20-7 week one. They've got a solid offense out there in Ishora. Buffalo News has them at 6. It's really, I'm basing it all off of this year. Sometimes they do it off of last year or years past, but I'm doing it strictly off of this year. Number 5, we're going all the way down to Class D, where we have Franklinville, Ellicottville, and West Valley. They defeated one of the best teams in Western New York, Randolph, 32-12. And then
Valley did that last year, though.
That is true.
I believe they did that last year. And then the sectionals came, and things changed.
Yeah, that could be correct. And then Cattaraugus Little Valley was their next win, 22-0. Cattaraugus Little Valley has been pretty decent in the past couple years, but this year, 1-1, they defeated Portville 12-6. Portville's 0-2, so that's where it's kind of a little iffy. Franklin, they were ranked number 8 on the Buffalo News chart. Number 6 is Alden. Alden, one of the East. They defeated Pioneer 35-0 and then Albion 20-7. Very strong team that the Bulldogs had out East there. Number 7, as much as JFK alum, I hate to say this, but Cleveland Hill makes my list at number 7. They defeated Maryvale 18-15, which is a very good game from what I heard. And they defeated Wilson 40-27. Wilson hasn't been that strong. They lost to JFK, my school, 29-0. So Wilson's not that strong, but Cleve Hill has a very good running duo of Grayson Taylor and Daytwan Burney, who just absolutely pound the opposition with their speed and their size. Grayson, not that tall, but he's got the explosive speed, and then Daytwan Burney is just all muscle, and he plows over people like a snow, like a street plow. He just plows people over. Number 8 is Tonawanda. As we talked to Ethan Shattuck earlier, they just got a strong team over there, very strong team. And then number 9, we go to Maple Grove Chautauqua Lake. Last year, they were considered the powerhouse. Nobody could stop them. Well, University Prep out of Pittsburgh beat them 34-14, but then reality all set in once they played the team from Western New York and defeated Gwanda 36-0. Gwanda beat a very strong Southwestern team who is currently coached by former Buffalo Bills Jehu Culprick. Gwanda defeated Southwestern 46-20. And then the last team that rounds out my list is, again, JFK division rival Lackawanna, as they are 2-0, and they defeated Silver Creek 28-10 and Salamanca 42-0.
All right. Right now we have Ted Beltry waiting in line. We're going to let you in. All right, Pat, you there? Happy birthday, Pat.
This is Melissa Brody, actually.
Oh, hey, Melissa, sorry.
That's all right. How's it going?
All right, Melissa. Good. We're having a great show here. Clarence, are they going to compete for Clarence, are they going to compete with her AA North Crown?
I mean, I wasn't at the game against Riverside, but obviously they won that one 31-12, which is a pretty good showing. I know the players that I talked to at the beginning of the year were extremely confident that they were kind of coming together the way that they were supposed to. So I think we'll still have to see kind of how it plays out. I think I'll be there next weekend to cover them again. I guess we'll just kind of see how that goes.
All right, Will North, they had the win over Sweet Home, which is now 0-2. I know it's a huge shocker. We've been talking about that and the loss to Jamestown. Do they still have the Class B North wrapped up, or is someone going to challenge them?
I know that they'll definitely do well. The only question right now is their quarterback left about halfway through the game against Sweet Home. Backup quarterback picked up, you know, right where he left off, but then this past weekend he didn't play, although I was told after the first game that it was just a stinger that he'd be back for the second week. That didn't happen. So I think we'll have to see, you know, how soon he comes back. I'm not sure if he'll be back this weekend or not.
So So Andrew Hank did not play?
Yeah. Right.
So Andrew Hank
did
play,
this
week? Okay.
He did not play this past week. I don't know if he's playing this upcoming weekend or not, but I will be covering Williamsville North versus Niagara Wheatfield on Saturday.
Okay, and we'll certainly have you on the show. We'll move to Will South. Do they have a shot in the A North this year against?
I think they do. Obviously, you know, it's a little hard to gauge from a game against Niagara Wheatfield, which is what their 44-0 win was. But their quarterback obviously was, you know, his confidence was pretty high after that. But he was saying that, you know, he expects them to be good. He expects their offense to be good. And if they play, you know, like they played that night, he thinks they can beat anyone. There were a few dropped passes between him and his wide receiver, Matt Foster. But he doesn't, you know, he said it's still early. He doesn't expect that to continue. And, you know, it was kind of a rough night, I guess, for them. But he thinks that they're going to be one of the best wide receiver and quarterback combinations in the game. So.
I'll ask you my final question. We'll have Marshall take over. Ask you a few. Williamsville East. They have a new coach over there. I talked to one of their new coaches. He feels the new coaching staff is on its way. What do you think about that? Do you think the kids are more excited for their new coach and expect to have a better season now?
I think they are. I think, you know, I asked him at the beginning of the season what he was going to change, and he said everything, because, you know, it's kind of hard to instill confidence in a team that didn't win a game last year, but that's his goal. And, you know, they looked good. They had a lead at halftime on Saturday against Grand Island and then lost it in the second half, and then even kind of had the ball right at the end up until the end of the game, and then a pass was caught and then fumbled, recovered by Grand Island, and that was the end of the game. But they lost 16-8 to Grand Island.
Okay. Marshall, you have anything?
Just looking at Williamsville, the three Williamsville schools, I'm seeing Will North plays both East and South. East plays North only, and then South plays North. Which game do you think would be the best game out of those three, or the three potential games?
North versus South. I know they have a huge rivalry, too, which will obviously make it a lot of fun. You know, the student section gets pretty into it, too. So I think that, you know, the North versus South is going to be a pretty exciting game, especially with that rivalry.
And just looking at Class A North right now, you've got NT, Star Point, Grand Island, all 2-0. And you've got Will South and Will North, 1-0. Right now, if you could choose someone from that class, who do you think would win that division?
I honestly can't say enough about the other schools that I don't cover. This is my first year covering the Williamsville schools, so, you know, I'm still kind of learning a lot, too, so I don't really feel like I can make a strong enough I don't feel like I know enough to make a prediction on that at this point.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay. Melissa, we're about to let Pat on, the birthday boy, what games are you going to this weekend, Friday and Saturday night?
Friday, I will be covering Amherst versus West Seneca West, which should be interesting since Amherst is 0-2 and struggling a little bit this year, but West Seneca West hasn't won a game since 2012, so that should be an interesting matchup. And then Saturday, I'm covering Williamsville North versus Niagara Wheatfield, which obviously should be a pretty big win for Williamsville North. So.
All right, that's Melissa Brawley for you. You can follow her on Twitter at Melissa Brawley. That's at M-E-L-I-S-S-A, Brawley, B-R-A-W-D-Y. Melissa, thanks for having you on. We'll talk to you Saturday.
All right, sounds good.
All right, thanks. All right, now we have the birthday boy, Pat Beltry, on the show. From St. Joe's. Pat, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Cash. How are you?
Good. We talked about St. Joe's against Monsignor Farrell earlier, and then they had the big win last week against Lockport. What do you see coming up for them for this season?
I see a team that has tons of potential. The issue currently, which they've been running into, is the turnovers, which have honestly killed them. In last week's game, they had three interceptions and one fumble. They were scored on, and that made the game 10-10. So once Monsignor Ferrer kicked off, Joe's took one offensive snap and fumbled on their own 9-yard line. And the next play, with under 20 seconds remaining, Monsignor Ferrer scored, which pretty much blew the doors open on that game. It was 17-10, and then Joe's kind of tried to roar back in that third quarter, had a strong third quarter, but just didn't have enough to pull it off in fourth.
All right. Anything else you want to give us? Besides football, what's your next top sport over at Joe's? Who's doing really well this fall season right now?
Well, currently I'm looking at the Joe's soccer team. They started off 4-0 this season, and they should have another strong year as they did last year. Lost in the state Catholic final last year in penalty kicks. So they should have another strong season this year. They play Canisius on Monday, so I'm planning on going to that game.
All right. Marsh, leave anything for Pat?
Happy birthday again, by the way.
Thank you.
With the Aquinas game, what are you looking forward to in that game on Saturday?
I honestly believe it'll be a tight game. Joe's has a lot to prove. I think quarterback Mike McCarthy for Joe's, he's still been trying to adjust to the pace. Once again, he missed all last season due to an injury, so he's still trying to recover and get used to the pace. I expect a strong week out of him. Darren Thompson should have a strong week. The Joe's defense plays overall pretty well, so I think they should have a strong week, and we'll see how it goes, and hopefully Joe's able to pull it off.
All right. Pat, we're going to leave you on here for the final 2.5 minutes of our show. We're going to do a quick word from our sponsors, and we're going to quickly go over the games coming up for this week. Sponsor Daniel Beck, attorney at law, for all your estate planning needs. You need a lawyer to buy a house. He can do that for you. His office is on 3290 Genesee Street in Cheektowaga. You can call him at 716-253-6500. And we also have the Paul Wolf Agency. If your insurance needs, he's at 2686 Elmwood Avenue, across on West Girard Boulevard in Kenmore. His number is 716-835-WOLF. You can find both of our sponsors' information on the webpage for the show. Last 2 minutes, we're going to run through the games on we're going to start Friday night football games. We'll start Class A South Lancaster and Jamestown. What's coming up also, Marshall?
Let's take a look here. We have Hutch Tech Frontier, which should be a very interesting game. Another one, as you said before, Star Point Grand Island should be a very good game. Will South North Tonawanda might be another good one.
I'm looking down here. The Bennett Orchard Park is going to be the big one. And then you have South Park going to Canisius. I'm someone who roots for underdogs, and the city schools are kind of underdogs, you know, all the problems going on there. I'm hoping personally for a win for one or both of those two schools. I think that would be pretty cool for them. Kenmore, I will be at the Kenmore East, Ville South game. Marshall?
And Friday night, I will be at JFK at Silver Creek, or tomorrow night I'll be at JFK at Silver Creek. Very crucial Class C North game. And then Saturday, I will be hosting the High School Football Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. You can call in if you're at any football game. We've got Francis will be at Williamsville East at Kenmore East on Saturday, as we said. Melissa Brody will be at Amherst at West Seneca West on Friday. Will North at Niagara Wheatfield on Saturday. Pat Veltri is on the line
right here with
he's
us.
He's going to be at Aquinas at St. Joe's. Evan Manna, who we just picked up, he'll be Friday night, Swill South and North Tonawanda. And our good man, Mark Closewater, will be at OP versus Bennett.
And we're going to try to get some more games here. I'd like to thank everybody for listening tonight. Yep. Anybody still there?
Oh, yep.
All right. Okay, you're all still there. I think we ended. So, all right, great episode. I thought we did pretty well.
Yeah, that went well.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to end the episode. I'm not sure if it's going to hang us up, so hold on.